for the start of hour number two of Sports 180. Thank you for being with us today. Hope you're having a great Tuesday afternoon. We're almost halfway through the month of July, which could be looked at as a good thing or bad thing. Typically, again, this is SEC Media Days week.
Yep.
As we discussed yesterday, this would be where we're talking about gearing up for college football. It's just that the tune's a little bit different, but I'm excited for the start of Major League Baseball. It's 10 days away. The NBA will start the next week. I told you that the Rashawn Holmes, Kelly Oubre breaking the bubble boundary story is just, that's what gets me fired up. I enjoy basketball, but I also enjoy the behind-the-scenes stories of the NBA, and that's about as NBA as it's going to get with the bubble.
Yeah, breaking the bubble boundary gets you quarantined. When the season starts, it will get you fined. I hope that Postmates late-night snack was worth it there. But, hey, they're dead serious, and they've got a lot riding on this, and something that you pointed out earlier is a lot of people's health, overall health, is at stake here, and they want to create an environment that is safe as possible for people to, you know, go about their business and resume play. And I don't blame the NBA for having kind of a zero tolerance policy when it comes to this. It's just really comical the way that it was broken. And apparently, like, Postmates, won't they bring you anything? Like, is it, or is there...
Well, they've got to have an agreement with the restaurants, yeah. Because you have a number of different delivery services, Postmates and Uber Eats and DoorDash and
yeah.
Stuff like that.
Well, I don't know, because we, obviously, living out in the middle of nowhere, we don't qualify for any of it. But there's also one delivery service, it's my understanding, based on some podcasts I've listened to, that they'll go to the store for you, too. Like, if you wanted cigarettes late night or a six-pack of beer, they will pick those items up for you as well.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. If any of them want to advertise with us, they can let us know. But I don't know. We've used different delivery services with food a few times, but they don't have a relationship, an agreement with every restaurant, at least the ones we're talking about. So yeah, I don't think Postmates can just go everywhere. I'm not an official spokesperson, but that, in my experience, you only have certain restaurants that they have an agreement with.
They need one of those, you used to see them in sci-fi movies, one of those clean zones where you bring something in and then that air comes on, like, it's like an airlock, and it, like, cleans everything, and then the NBA player goes in and gets the food. So some kind of, like, little chamber where there's no interaction with the Postmates delivery person. They put the delivery in this airlock. This air swirls around it, cleans it, and then the NBA player gets it.
Where's the airlock? What is this? Am I confused?
It's usually
What's happening in
sci-fi movies, like in outer space and stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. I got you. So it's not at Chili's. You're not okay. on the pickup. Okay. Just making sure on that one. Okay. So we've got that going on in the sports world as well. Matisse Thybulle, he's a rookie with the 76ers. He's done some video editing, documentary stuff, if that's how it should be described, on his first week or so in the bubble. It does give you a behind-the-scenes peek as well. So not everybody's Rajon Rondo, who, by the way, maybe that's some bubble karma. I don't know, but he has the fractured thumb, so he's going to be out like 6 to 8 weeks. I also saw the Lakers NBA title odds went up after he got the injury. But he had tweeted out complaining about the hotel room, and then you see Giannis, who, by the way, is as big of a star almost as you're going to find in the league, and he said, "I grew up with four brothers in this tiny apartment smaller than my hotel suite, so I'm good." So not everybody's complaining.
I really hate it for Rajon Rondo, but I really think he is one of those morbidly unhappy people. You encounter them a lot in all walks of life, like people that just can't. I mean, you give them a free $1 million, so you don't even have to pay taxes on this, and they would find something wrong with it, you know, like, oh, and they would be negative. I just always feel like, even going back to college, that was Rajon Rondo's MO. I don't know why, but I just feel like he complains more than he ever says anything good.
Well, he's had issues pretty much every franchise he's played for at some point.
Yeah.
I don't know that he has with the Lakers to this point. He's been there for a couple of seasons now, but Boston, it ended up ending badly, and Dallas kind of booted him from the team. So everywhere he's gone, it's been a short stay since he left the Boston Celtics. He helped him win a title, though. He's a good player.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's not been a perfect player by any means.
Yeah, and I think there's just something maybe with his personality that if he would maybe look towards the positives a little more. There could be a little less friction in his life.
Yeah, maybe so. Former Kentucky Wildcat, Rajon Rondo, who has had a long, successful career in the league. So we're getting closer, 2.5 weeks from the start of the NBA. And that's the thing that's also probably, I don't know if it's confusing or whatever would be the description, but as we're sitting here having this conversation about college sports, every pro sport is either starting up or is in the process of doing that. And that's why it's also probably worth pointing out pro and college. This is just an example of them being very different levels. But every pro league is on pace in some way. Major League Baseball is next week. And, of course, there can always be a reversal, of course, but the NHL now has its plan to get going as well. So you're watching sports like NASCAR, UFC. They're in action again tomorrow, both of them. Golf has been going on. And then this basketball tournament that's taking place. Yeah. Then the MLS, but Major League Baseball, NBA, and NHL. I'm sure I skipped over somebody, but they're all either going or planning to, and that probably makes the issues facing college sports even more frustrating for the fans.
Yeah, I think WNBA also would be in that category as getting ready to start up.
Yeah, WNBA, National Women's Soccer League. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So I think it's all good signs. Unfortunately, especially if you are on the college level and you're trying to plan out what your fall is going to look like, whether you're an administrator, a coach, or a player, it's not going to be clear in the next 2 weeks what college sports are going to look like. I think they just need more time and need to see, especially how Major League Baseball operates and see, how teams are testing and what kind of numbers that they're facing, especially when you throw in the travel that these Major League Baseball teams are going to do. They're just going to need more data. And that's something that we kind of talked about yesterday. I don't think what the NBA does, what the NHL, MLS does, has a direct effect on college football because they're all operating in the bubble system. And college,
yeah, that's
the
difference too. Yeah, yeah.
College is just not going to be able to do that. I mean, that's unrealistic for the environment that you live in and how you're going to be playing. You're going to have to travel at some point in time if you're even going to just play conference games. So it's not necessarily a apples to apples comparison when you're talking about, oh, look, Major League Baseball's gone 2.5 weeks, or not Major League Baseball, but say the NBA's gone 2.5 weeks without any positive spikes. That's not going to be a good indicator if you're trying to hope that college football comes back, because the dynamics of the restart are just so different.
So who's going to make this decision, and what could it look like with scheduling for college football this fall? Some information for you on that. Ross Dellinger with SI covering what the SEC is trying to figure out and all of college football is trying to figure out over the next few weeks. That's coming up next. 656-9900 is how you can join us on this Tuesday afternoon with Heather Harrington and Sam Foreman. I'm Josh Ward. You're listening to FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.
It all comes down to the he said, she said. Here's Sports 180 with Josh and Heather.
This is Sports 180. Thanks for being with us. Heather, we'll hear from Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, what he has had to say about, okay, who could be making these decisions over the next few weeks for college athletics to return, because or to take place, I guess, this fall would maybe be the right description, because there are a lot of people involved. It does look like Ohio State is going to get back to workouts after it paused several days ago, and yep. It's also updating its testing policy. Is that right?
Yeah, it seems like, based on what I was able to read during the break, that Ohio State was maybe only testing after initial testing. They were only retesting people that were showing symptoms, and that's what led to the like mini outbreak or the spike in numbers that they had with COVID-19, because a couple of people were asymptomatic that were passing it to other people. So now it looks like Ohio State athletes, not just football players, I mean, this is saying athletes, will be more routinely tested to make sure that there's not more asymptomatic people that could be passing along COVID-19 to their teammates or support personnel.
Well, you've got to have uniform testing, right? You can't be testing one sport differently than the others. Am I wrong there?
You would imagine so, but I mean, there's always been, you know, a priority hierarchy, and there have been different levels of medical care that have been in the past provided to, you know, football and men's basketball players that other athletes didn't have access to. I mean, just case in point, like routine massages or chiropractic care, that was something that some athletes were given access to and other athletes were not. So, but you would think with something this important and people being back on campus, yeah, that this would be, a blanket policy for all of the athletes and not a situation where hierarchy or priority would play into, the decision-making.
Speaking of decision-making, what about a football season this fall? Ross Dellinger on Paul Feinbaum's show yesterday on the SEC Network discussed who ultimately is going to be making the decisions here on a season over the next few weeks.
We kind of dug into this issue Thursday, last Thursday, in a story on SI.com about this big decision, you know, and the factors in it. And Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner, was telling me about a panel of doctors that each week they have a conference call with the commissioners do. And this panel of doctors, they listen to them, and, you know, Bowlesby said they haven't yet told them to shut it down. And I think it's going to be that panel. We quote a couple of them in that story last week just about the situation. And they're very grim about the situation, those doctors. They are very they're very anxious about the whole situation. So I think it's going to be medical experts, you know. It's going to be medical experts advising the conference commissioners and conference commissioners making these decisions based on what these doctors say. And the doctors, as one of them told me, it's pretty simple what's going to have to happen. He said he's going to have to see cases plateau or fall nationally. You know, it's not only about what's going on college campuses as far as the case numbers, but it's about just the national number. Because, again, as Bowlesby told me in that story, I mentioned it earlier in this interview, but this potential for scarcity of testing and not have enough testing in the optics of it to be testing and then having football players go out, knock against each other, testing them again when you have a full hospital where all these other people need testing. That is the big issue, you know, here. And we're going to have to see cases drop.
Ross Dellinger on Paul Feinbaum's show on the SEC Network yesterday afternoon. And, that, and you're talking about a lot of tests. You're talking about a lot of college athletes around the country.
Yeah, you're absolutely talking about a lot of tests. And the fact that you could be testing football players as frequently as once or twice a week, that's a lot of tests for just one group of athletes. So, I mean, everybody knows the challenges. And Ross points it out on his Twitter timeline. You know, the challenges are mounting because you're running out of time. Because it looks like numbers are going up in different areas, that and there hasn't been any sign of tapering off. You're no closer to a vaccine, and a bubble type system is just not something you're going to be able to execute on that level. So yeah, the challenges are definitely mounting, and the fact that SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey says, "Hey, listen, we're just going to see how this plays out over the next couple of weeks, and then start making some hard, fast decisions." He knows the clock is ticking, but he's not ready to call it one way or another yet.
We asked Joe Rexroad last hour, what's his optimism level, 1 to 10? I don't think we've gotten a Heather Harrington optimism gauge here recently. What did Joe say, 25, 75 in favor? It wasn't incredibly optimistic.
He said it plummeted. He goes, it's plummeting. Yeah.
So that'd be a 2.5 on the 1 to 10 scale. Where is Heather Harrington for football this fall?
I'm still going to – I still feel – not saying that you're going to see a whole season or an unscathed season. I think you will see college football games played, so I'm still going to give it a 75. Give me 7.5.
Okay, you're 7.5 on the 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know where I am. I would probably go 60-40 because of the importance and the emphasis and the financial gain versus loss. So and part of it, it's trying to remain optimistic that it's going to happen. Finish, I don't know. You know, it's like baseball and the NBA. Are they going to finish what they start? Nobody knows. But if you start, you've at least got a chance to finish. You can't finish what you don't start.
Exactly.
So,
sounds like a motivational quote there, Josh Ward.
Yeah, somewhat. I don't know that it's that inspiring, but at least the way that I present it, I think The Rock could probably do better. Gary Vee could do better than me. But it's so important. So I. And as things have gone negative, they can go back positive. You're looking for the reversal when it comes to the test results, of course. What's gone positive, you hope goes negative. And then you can get some football on the field. There's time. You just don't have as much of it. But you know, there was another message from the CDC yesterday saying, put on your masks. In the next 4 to 6 weeks, we can go in a much, much better direction. Well, in 4 to 6 weeks, if that were to happen, you can still have football season in college. Maybe not starting on time. I don't know how. I'm much less optimistic about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they were to start up September 19th, moving it back a couple of weeks from the regular start time, or September 12th, I don't know. You've got some time to make that happen. But you're looking at less than 2 months from September 12th and a little more than 2 months to go before the September 19th weekend.
And if you want me to be Pollyanna again on this, if they do have to rework the schedule, not having the Florida game on my birthday is usually pretty good. The outcome is better when it's not on my birthday weekend. Just saying. Which would put us past that September 19th start.
Okay. Man, you really worked yourself into that one, didn't you?
I did. I feel like a pretzel kind of like twisted around. That was not to
be Pollyanna. There's one person that even cares about that. That's you. So I don't know what that does for anybody else.
Yeah, that's true. But the one time that Tennessee has won, you know, since Eric Ainge was playing, that was not on my birthday weekend. It happened to be like the next week. So it was fantastic. Got to enjoy it.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Yeah. I see now where people are very confused at why I even brought that up. Yeah. My bad. I'll go ahead and call a penalty on myself. This is like pickup basketball. My bad, guys.
It sounds to me like you just guaranteed the Vols are going to beat Florida and Georgia this upcoming year.
Hey, 2020's crazy. Let's get nuts, as your former cohort used to say. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to get nuts. We can do it right here on Sports 180. So, would you like to see a Tennessee-Florida season kickoff? How about a season opener of Florida at Neyland Stadium?
A season opener? Oh, that would just be scary, but why not? I mean,
this would be in a conference-only setting.
Yeah, I mean, who cares? Let's just play the games. Like, at this point in time, if they want to roll out Alabama first on the schedule, all right, you just get it over with that much quicker and move on.
Yeah, at this point, you got to play the Bucks opening weekend. All right, fine. Yeah, whatever. Bring on Brady. Let's see what we got here. Football.
Yeah, let's just do the darn thing. Let's get it going at this point in time.
That is what I'm looking forward to. Let's take the optimistic approach and say they're going to work this out. They're going to play. I can't wait. I'm being serious. I can't wait for the complaining about how the schedule is unfair to whoever school we're talking about. Tennessee, of course, would come up more locally, but in a time where we will have spent months hoping and praying that a football season takes place, if it does, there will still be the complaints about how it's worked out against your team and in favor of your rivals.
Well, if ESPN and the SEC would just stop, you know, collaborating against the Vols, yeah, we wouldn't have to hear
obvious
all that complaining. I mean, it's not
apparent.
Our fault as a fan base that the SEC and ESPN's out to get us.
Yeah, I mean, why do you think JT Daniels has been granted eligibility and Cade Mays is waiting? It's because of ESPN.
Actually, I think it's because Tennessee just got around to filing the paperwork, according to Jimmy Himes.
No.
I did read that on Jimmy's timeline.
It doesn't have anything
timeline
to do with timing of turning in the waiver request. It's the conspiracies. No, you're right. Just to clarify, JT Daniels yesterday announced that he had been given clearance to play. And, of course, the immediate reaction was, what? Cade transferred in January. Well, that doesn't mean that they automatically applied for his eligibility. Jimmy reported earlier today that request from Tennessee came last week. And part of that is, I'm sure, Tennessee trying to make sure that it's buttoned up,
yes,
with its request and making the best possible case for Cade to be able to play this fall.
Because, again, not having any sort of transparency and insight into why some waivers are granted versus other waivers are not, Tennessee definitely has to cross all their T's and dot all their I's to make sure that they make the best possible case for Cade Mays to be approved.
It's either that or Kirk Herbstreit called the NCAA and said, I don't want Cade Mays playing for Tennessee this fall. It could be that.
Once a Buckeye, always a Buckeye.
Now people are probably confused and can't even tell if we're serious or not. ESPN doesn't hate your team, but if you think that's the case, That's college football. We're all trying to get it back. We'll take that for sure. We'll come back. 656-9900, 90 minutes of Sports 180 remain. A very bold prediction later in the hour on Kara Lawson, the former Lady Vol, what she might be able to do as Duke's head coach. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about sports returning here in the next few weeks, guaranteed to return, and, of course, more college football right here on Sports 180, 656-9900 to join us with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward. Sam Foreman has a midday sports minute for you right here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is VFL Josh Malone, and we're counting it down. It is just
53 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go on!
This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. Heather, this time yesterday we talked to Scott Allen of the Washington Post. He brought up the possibility, at least, of Washington not having a team name for this upcoming NFL season, that they could kind of just be the generic Washington NFL team, and then something will get decided. Now, I've seen online, I don't know, I mean, it's being talked about already. Red Wolves. There's some online buzz about Red Wolves still happening. We have our sports animal poll actually that you can vote on. What do you want to see, or what do you think would be best? Our U.S. Army poll: Warriors, Red Wolves, Red Tails, and Federals are the four options on the poll. But there seems to be a lot of Red Wolves anticipation buzz online on social media.
Okay. I was thinking that, and let me play this out for you. Dan Snyder, because obviously he's doing this begrudgingly and because of outside pressure, financial pressure to change the team name, he's begrudgingly decided, okay, the Redskins are done. What if he does take this year to, quote, find the perfect logo and to get all of that, you know, straightened out, so they're known this season as the team formerly known as the Washington Redskins, and they just have some crazy symbol on their helmet.
So to hold on to the Redskins name? Yeah. Well, I don't think people are going to forget either way.
But remember, like, Prince? Everybody still called him Prince because they had to call him the artist formerly known as Prince.
Yeah, we're talking conspiracy theories last segment. Maybe that could be one as well. It has more to do with something like trademark laws, but yours could be right too.
I think it's both. I think it's trademark laws. They want to roll out one thing. They don't want to send mixed messages while they're trying to find the perfect logo and moniker. So they just change it. They have a generic symbol, and everybody has to refer to them as the team formerly known as the Washington Redskins. So they get the time that they need to find the perfect new nickname and all of that. But he also, on the way out, gets to throw a little salt in that wound.
Okay, yeah. Who's actually going to call them the team formerly known as the Redskins besides Heather Harrington? Is that really going to be a thing?
Well, that's what you would have to do. That's what people had to call Prince. They had to say the artist formerly known as Prince because he changed his name to a symbol that was unpronounceable. Like, there was not the ability to pronounce it. So how else was he going to be known?
He could have gone by Washington. So I don't know. I would also guess, I would think they're going to get it worked out and they'll have a team name this year. But who knows? Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll be a generic team. And by the way, in soccer, you see the such and such football club all the time. So it could be the Washington football team.
I think what's really interesting from those comments, it's like, I don't think they would have made this announcement if they didn't have a good idea of the direction they were going to go in. So the thought of them playing without a full-on rebrand ready to go for the 2020 season, that would just shock me if they played under some sort of, oh, this is the Washington team, there's no picture on the helmet, maybe they just go to a red and their color helmet. I don't know. I just see that as not being a great option.
Well, I wouldn't think it's preferred, no. The internet, by the way, is just having fun. Shout out to Mac, who sent me a reworked design for Washington. It can be like a holdover for the Redskins. So everybody's having all kinds of ideas of what their team name should be, what they could do, what their logo should look like. The internet has a lot of time on its hands, of course, in 2020.
With everybody
A lot of time on the laptop and a lot more graphic designing going on.
Absolutely. Somebody just sent me a mock-up of, instead of changing their name from the Washington Redskins, they changed it to the DC Redskins. So the joke's on everybody. They just dropped the Washington.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Well, the letterhead was funny yesterday, and of course people pointed out, wait a minute, you still kept the Redskins logo and name on the letterhead, mm-hmm. and then you've got the replies, well, how you know, they had to do this very quickly. Daniel Snyder doesn't have his own letterhead. He's the owner of the franchise. I think he's got some money. He could probably print some letterhead up. So anyway, everybody's just losing their minds over everything. But it shows our ability to not lose focus when we're looking to get upset about something.
Yeah, and it looks like the next teams of focus are going to be the Cleveland Indians and the Atlanta Braves. I don't know. The Blackhawks haven't been mentioned yet. Chicago?
I think the one that would stand the biggest chance of changing would be the Indians, Cleveland.
Which they have already
undergone. I'd be surprised
if
it happens with the Braves or Chiefs.
Yeah, they've already undergone a logo update. Because remember, they changed the color of the skin. Yeah, back when I was growing up. So when I was younger, it was definitely more of a red tone that they used for the caricature. And that's been eliminated in past years.
Right. Do you think I'm right there that the one that stands the biggest chance of seeing change would be Cleveland Indians in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, but I wouldn't say that the Braves and the Kansas City Chiefs and the Chicago Blackhawks, I wouldn't say that their logos are safe. They just might be further down the list.
Well, the Braves have talked about looking at using the chop, the tomahawk chop. But like
getting
in
rid
terms
of it,
Braves,
you mean?
Yeah, like I'm sure you, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Because they already use it. So, like the Braves name, I don't think they're going to really consider changing that.
Okay, you don't think that that pressure is coming for them?
No, in terms of actually doing something, no, I don't think so. I don't think that'll happen with the Chiefs or the Blackhawks as well.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't want to see historic franchises have to change their names. That's not something that, you know, I like seeing. But I just saw a couple of pictures that during protests of the Washington Redskins, you also see logos with a big black mark through them, like X out the Chiefs, X out the mm-hmm. Braves. So it's like, okay, got the Washington Redskins changed. What's next on the itinerary?
Yeah, now something that could, I guess, prove me wrong here would be financial pressure, but I'm not seeing that anywhere, and that's what would change things. That's what changed things in Washington. If the sponsors, if Fred Smith hadn't come forward and said, hey, we need to do something here, we wouldn't have had that announcement from Washington yesterday.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is all because of the environment of cancel culture that we live in and the pressure, the financial pressure that companies face with who they even endorse, you know, with FedEx, that's obviously a very wealthy company, but they want to keep people happy. And when a significant portion of maybe their consumers were having some backlash of them sponsoring the Washington Redskins, that's when they started to apply their financial muscle to get the Redskins' name changed.
Yeah, I think this is a more serious subject of cancel culture versus what people just argue about over the internet, though, wouldn't you agree?
Say, I'm not
like,
understanding.
Like, you've had the Nike stuff, you've had the whichever bean company it is, I can't even remember the name. But, you know, that gets a lot of attention on Twitter, and then people yell about it on Twitter. This is one that's been there for years, so the idea of changing the Redskins' name, that's a conversation we've had for a long time.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. But the only reason that it's come to fruition now is because of the power that comes along with the cancel culture, is my argument. Like this
right,
is
I'm saying that's not what cancel culture is. Cancel culture is like this is actual force from people who are involved as opposed to the quote internet mob that people talk about. That's the difference here is you actually have people, power players who are involved, a minority owner within the franchise who wants to make a change as opposed to society at large saying, hey, we don't like this, you need to do away with it. That's the difference here as opposed to the other things that fall under, quote, cancel culture.
I would just question why now then did they decide to make this move if it wasn't influenced by the power that cancel culture has? Why was the minority? That's the only thing I would question.
Well, of course, no doubt. But I'm just saying, in the typical cancel culture conversation, it's not worth going back and forth over. You don't have Fred Smith involved in those type subjects. You have people on Twitter and Facebook that are talking about getting upset about stuff, and then they move on to the next subject. I think that would be the difference. Fred Smith's not hopping in all these different stories, or people like him most often.
Yeah, he's not. No, okay. Yeah.
Let's get Tim's call on Sports 180. Hey, Tim, good afternoon. What do you think?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. How y'all doing today?
Yeah, doing great.
Hey, I listen to y'all show every day. I really enjoy it. When you face a conundrum like changing a major league sports name like the Washington Redskins, there's usually all kinds of things behind it. But I want to get your opinion and ask you a question. What is it going to accomplish in the big spectrum of things of sports, whatever, culture? What does it really accomplish to eliminate the Washington Redskins name? Because I have a belief, but I want to hear yours first.
What does it accomplish? You're going to have people who have been upset. They're not going to be upset about that. Perhaps they move on to something else. But in this case, you have people who support you financially that are going to be appeased. I mean, that's literally what's accomplished. But you have your own idea. What would you say?
Yeah, and part of that, I agree with you, is the mighty dollar speaks. But it's just not going to stop here. People who want these things canceled, and I heard Heather talk about the cancel culture, and it's unfortunate that it has the traction that it does. But once this is canceled, they're going to go into the next one, and there's never going to be an ending point. There's never going to be fruition to say, okay, we're satisfied now. There was a poll taken, and I saw it last night on a certain news channel that said the Indians aren't even upset about this. As a matter of fact, an Indian is the one that recommended the Redskins name over 70 years ago. And it's just insane that we're letting a certain group of people dictate the world of sports. The NFL is killing itself. It really is.
I think the NFL is doing just fine. Well, I wouldn't say the NFL is killing itself. I think it's doing fine, Tim.
In the eyes of sports fans, they're still going to make their money because they have TV contracts, but they're losing their base more and more every year. We're going to get rid of the Washington Redskins, but NBA players can put Fear the Jews on the back of their jersey. It just doesn't make sense.
No, they can't.
There's no end to it.
Yeah, there's no way Adam Silver would let that happen.
They can't do that.
Yeah.
I hope you're right, Heather. I hope you're right, and I hope what I saw was a false report because I'm with you. I hope it's wrong. But there's no end to this. We're going to be having this conversation this time next year about whoever and whatever. And I think Americans as a whole, sports fans like myself, are getting tired of it.
I just wanted to get your opinion.
And
that's why I would say, Tim, be careful about what you see online and what you read and what you believe, because LeBron can't go out there with what you said on the back of his jersey. That's not going to happen.
Nor would he. Yeah.
Nor would he. Right. Nor would he. But that's not allowed. And look, you're certainly within your right to agree or disagree with what's happening in Washington. I have no problem with that at all. But the NFL is not killing itself. The NFL is a monster. What is 90 of the top 100 rated television programs in 2019? The NFL had more than 90 of them. I mean, it's an untouchable monster in the sports world. So yeah, people are going to agree and disagree with this Washington change, and you're certainly within your right, whichever side you're on. But it's not killing the NFL. And let's be careful with what you see on the internet, with what you see tweeted out and posted on a message board or Facebook. Be very careful, especially today.
Yeah, and one of the points I did agree with is I think there are people with an agenda that want to see things changed, things that they have deemed offensive, and there could be other franchises. That's been my argument that's been my statement that I made at the beginning of this segment, and I stand by it. I feel like this group of people feels like they got something accomplished with changing the Washington Redskins name, and they might have a laundry list of, okay, what's next? What's our next priority? Could it be the Kansas City Chiefs? Could it be something else with Native American ties? I'm not sure, but you've seen a lot of brands go through a rebranding process during this year. From everything from, you know, the different syrups and the rice and now NFL teams, that you could see that there could be more to come. That's my only statement on all of this.
That's true. I mean, of course. I mean, there will be more subjects like this. I would also say, everybody, take a deep breath here. Because people are, I think, in a lot of cases, overreacting to what they believe are overreactions. It's an inception overreaction.
I think, unfortunately, people are losing the ability to actually have a conversation with people that maybe don't agree with them and try to see their point of view. The conversations are getting lost. And this is the point in time where we need conversations the most, and they're not happening with unlike-minded people, like with people that think differently from you. Like, you're having conversations about what's going on, but you're only talking to people that also think like you, and that's not helping anything.
The group think. It's a dangerous thing. It happens online as well,
yeah,
for sure.
It definitely does. So, yeah, it's just, it's tough, and I understand that.
That's what I would like to cancel. How about that?
Yeah. I would like to cancel things that are just completely made up and then disseminated in mass communication on online platforms. I would love to get rid of that.
Yeah, there are many things that scare me. That kind of scares me. The ability to share incorrect information and how quickly it spreads. We will come back. A much more positive subject. Kara Lawson, the former Lady Vol, I think she's going to do really well at Duke, but listen to what this ESPN analyst said about what Kara might be able to do coaching the Duke women's basketball program. That's coming up next right here on Sports 180 with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Details.
You want peace and quiet?
Better look somewhere else. 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Back to begin the final segment of hour number two of Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. You can find us on the WNML app. You can find us online, 991thesportsanimal.com. Heather, we discussed yesterday the big news from over the weekend that Kara Lawson has been hired to be the head women's basketball coach at Duke. She shared a photo with players and coaches and staff members with the Boston Celtics as she was saying goodbye. They all had their masks on. They were all there to support. They all had Duke t-shirts on. So that says something. She's not even been there a year, and everybody's that supportive and emotional, it seemed like, in saying goodbye to Kara Lawson as she's leaving as an assistant coach with the Celtics to be the head coach at Duke.
Yeah, and what a meteoric rise in the coaching ranks to go from being on television to getting a great job with the Celtics, and less than a year later, now you're the head coach at the Duke women's basketball program. I mean, it's incredible, and it just goes to show it doesn't matter what age you are, because I think she's 39 years old or 38 years old, that, hey, I'm thinking about doing something else. I want to try my hand at something. And I think it's really cool, and I wish her nothing but the best. And we'll see where this goes, because like you were pointing out yesterday, I hadn't realized how many different coaches, especially in basketball, really primarily in basketball, have come out of nowhere and made big splashes, you know, have had success, even though they don't have much of a resume to look at as far as coaching is concerned. So I thought that was really interesting, and it's going to be really cool to see what she's able to do.
Yes, and Debbie Antonelli of ESPN yesterday on the ACC Network had some really strong thoughts on what's going to happen at Duke. Listen to what she said, Debbie Antonelli on the ACC Network, talking about Kara Lawson and why she is bullish on the job Kara will do at Duke.
I think Duke basketball is the number one brand. I think Duke women's basketball is the number one job in America. When you take a look at the way the landscape has changed recently, and the opportunities that Kara has to go in there. I'm telling you guys right now, this year they weren't going to be very talented. They were going to be picked towards the bottom of the ACC. It was going to be a challenging year anyway. But I'm telling you guys right now, the first recruiting class will get three in the top 25. The next class will get three in the top 25. And I'm telling you, in the next 5 years, they're going to be playing in the Final Four. I believe that strongly in Duke as a brand, this being the number one job, and Kara having the ability to combine all of her resource, all of her talent, all of her experience. I know she's never been a head coach before. Technically, she's been on one staff, you know, with Brad Stevens. I think that's enough. I think she's going to understand what it looks like. She's experienced it at every level as a player. I think she slides in there and really makes a big splash very quickly on the recruiting scene and the triangle in terms of attendance and turning things around and winning. Final Four in 5 years, guys.
Final Four in 5 years,
wow.
Says Debbie Antonelli on ACC Network, talking about Kara Lawson with the Duke women's basketball program. I would not go so far as to say that the Duke job is the best job in women's basketball, but it's a really good job. I mean, it's one of the best. There's no doubt about that. So big expectations that Debbie has for Kara Lawson.
Yeah, she absolutely does, and she thinks that Kara's going to go in and be able to recruit at a high level from the jump. So that'll be really interesting to see how many of those top 25 players she can either sway, or there are a couple. I'm looking down the top 25 list from ESPN.com, and it looks like there's only about five for the 2021 class, five out of the top 25 that are not committed. Right now, the number one player in the country, the number nine player, 14, 15, and 19.
Okay.
Tennessee only with one player in the top 25 at this point in time, and that is the number 25 player from Innsworth.
And I'm sorry, this is the 2020 class?
2021.
Okay, because Kelly Harper's landed a few really highly touted players here recently, right?
Yeah, I was looking at the 2021 class. I can pull up the 2020 really quick. And Tennessee has... No, that would have been for the 2021 class, Josh, because unless I'm looking at a different list, the 2020, there's nobody in the top 25 going to Tennessee.
Okay.
And there's only the one, unless this list hasn't been updated, and I don't follow it on the day-to-day, but Kaya Wynn, she's the number 23 player in the country for 2021, and she is committed to Tennessee.
Yeah, I don't know if that's been updated.
Okay.
Would be my guess there on that, because they just picked up, two weeks ago, they picked up another five-star prospect for 2021.
Okay.
So that would be my guess there. Brooklyn Miles is the most recent, I believe, to commit to the Lady Vols.
Okay.
So anyway, you have that. So Kara Lawson at Duke, big expectations for what she will be able to do. One more note before we close out this hour on Sports 180. Tell me if this is interesting at all. Stuart Mandel is noting that the Major League Baseball TV schedule has been updated for what Fox is planning to do with the 2020 season, and there's going to be a Major League Baseball game on Fox at 8 p.m. Eastern Time every Saturday in September. Last year, Fox ran a college football game in that time slot every Saturday.
Okay, so is that foreshadowing? Is that what you call that in literature terms? This is what is to come?
I mean, it says to me at least Fox is it's going ahead and sliding in something that's a little more guaranteed. Baseball versus football, because football is going to be the one that you would lean on more heavily, right, for the ratings?
Yes.
But that's if football's there. So it's of note at least that a time slot last year that included college football, this year it looks like will include Major League Baseball.
Okay. Well, it's hard to kind of exactly pinpoint what that means, or if it's just a contingency plan and maybe they can change it later or move the schedule around. But yeah, that if you're still looking for those bright spots that are just screaming, hey, college football is on the way, that would not be something that you would want to pay attention to.
All right. We'll look for the positives and the negatives. We'll balance them out to begin hour number three of Sports 180. Jay Busby of Yahoo will join us 30 minutes from right now, right here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.